Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium. Opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Lovely, wild Wednesday, June 22nd, what is it, 2016, June 22nd, and it is hot here in Texas. Namaste, Featherlight. Welcome in.
Hi, you're going in as you're not as is that the same for me? Can you hear everything I'm saying? Namaste.
You were going in and out. Were you saying that I'm going in and out? Because that's what it sounded like with you.
Yes.
Oh.
You sound fine on this end, Black Rose. This is Scotty. Hey, everyone.
Hey, Scotty. Namaste, Scotty. Namaste. All is well. It sounds okay?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, great.
Okay.
Well, we are here. It'll straighten up. They can hear what we're saying. Just put your ear a little bit closer you used to do back in the day. Put your ear close. Look, instead of putting it close to the radio, put it close to the computer or close to the phone or whatever, like y'all used to do back in the day. And it all come through because we bringing you some dirty little secrets tonight. And I was just going to Featherlight is going to bring us a mind, body, and spirit. And you know what? I really want to play this clip that I have been wanting to play, Featherlight, about Sam Cooke. I know Sam Cooke is one of your favorites.
Yes.
And yes. Came across this clip a while back, just speaking about his suspicious death. And you know, I don't like death and gore, but this is quite interesting, so I do want to share that. And then we're going to listen to a little bit of Claude Anderson's Dirty Little Secrets. And, you know, and then I have a question, you know, why is it that, goodness gracious, it just seems like sometimes people just don't get it. And I understand we're all at our different levels of consciousness and awareness and enlightenment. I know that, but sometimes it just seems like we just keep repeating the same thing over and over and asking the same questions, doing the same thing and expecting something different, and just not being able to eventually connect the dots. And I just think that eventually, especially in this day and time, I mean, I've seen some people over the past few years to wake up, and I mean, I just really knew these people were just dead as a doorknob, and even they have like come into some type of awareness, which I'm so happy about. But it just seems like, you know, we still have so many people that are just clueless to how things really operate, and I'm just really beginning to believe it's because they are remiss in trying to learn these things or trying to research. Because like with me, I've always been inquisitive, and like if someone would share something with me, then, you know, I wanted to find out, especially if I didn't know, so I was ignorant to it or unaware, I wanted to kind of research it and find out. And I'm just a natural researcher. And so, you know, I would just try to find out. I mean, if it was something of interest, you know, I don't go and look up everything somebody tells me. I don't have to. You know, I don't want to. Don't have the time to. Don't care to. But, I mean, certain things in particularly that prepare in reference to, like, our social condition, economic conditions, or our history or something like that, I'm always going to have some type of interest in those types of subjects. And it's the same, like, to me, people will eventually just kind of wake up and just have a little sense, you know, get on the path, at least get in the book. You don't have to be on the same page all the time, but at least get in the right book. I heard somebody say that. Yeah, I heard somebody say that one day. You know, we may not be on the same page. We may not even be on the same chapter, but dang, can you at least get in the same book? Yeah, can you at least get in the book? I mean, I come across people that they just not even in the book. I mean, they just say I'm not going to say craziest, but just some of the, they just say some things, and I just say to myself, like, do you live under a rock? I mean, in the age of information, when you have information at your fingertips, you don't have to go to the library and pull out the little card catalog like we used to.
Right.
And write down the what do they call that number, the card catalog, when you go to that little number we used to have to go and look.
I forgot what it's called, but it's a card catalog number, and it be about three numbers and then a dot and then some more numbers.
See, we had it was difficult for us. I mean, you know,
pull
out that little card catalog and go up and down the aisles of the library.
And sometimes you'd have to get the little assistant to help you.
The librarian.
I can't find this.
Right, and then they go find the book over on the little rolling rack for you, or whatever. Find it on the shelf. You know, we used to love the library. That's one thing about Memphis. Speaking of libraries, I just used to, I appreciated the library, but I never gained more appreciation for libraries. I gained more appreciation for libraries being able to be in Memphis with our library when I came here to Texas, because in Memphis, library stayed open from like, 9 to 9 or something like that. Then on Sundays, it stayed open from 9 until 6. And then here in, 9 until 6 on Sunday. So it was open 7 days a week.
Exactly.
And here in Texas, the libraries close at 5. Now, the children don't get out of school until 2 or 3 o'clock.
Right.
Parents don't get off work until 4, 5, or 6. So then that means that some children are not able to take advantage of the library. And don't city taxes pay for the library like our taxes?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so, they're not open on Sundays.
Stupid ass libraries here not even open on Sundays. And some of them not even open during the week. I think they have like shorter hours or something like that. No, it's only one library here in Houston that's open on Sundays, and that's the one downtown. And Houston is too damn big for somebody on the northwest side of the city to have to travel downtown. Even by car, that's a good, 30-minute drive, 20-minute drive or something.
45, with the traffic.
Could be. And then you got to go all the way downtown, and when you go downtown, you have to pay for parking. So, I mean, it's just ridiculous, I just have an appreciation for Memphis libraries. Hats off to Memphis, at least, for allowing us to be able to take advantage of long hours at the library. And I guess that's why Texas and places like Mississippi rate so low in education, because you won't keep the darn libraries open for people.
Right.
So, but anyway, I don't even know how I got into the library when I'm a little
information.
Information, that's right. Thank you for bringing me back around. But information, mm-hmm. we don't even have to go to the library like that anymore. You can just Google everything. You can go online and order a book. You don't have to go to the library and check it out. You can just order that book online, download it on your Kindle, pretty much kind of read a synopsis of a book if you need some information on the topic, just by Googling it. And some of these people, they won't even do that, but they're going to keep asking you the same stupid question, why this and why that and why this and why that. Why don't you research? How about that? Why don't you research? And I remember once hearing Brother Dick Gregory, he said something similar to that, speaking in reference to that. I think someone asked him, like, about something, a topic or something, and he was like, you know, I bought and paid for this information and did my research on it and had researchers research it. You need to do the same. And so I would just ask more of us, do your research. Read. You know, we should share books. We should share book titles. Somebody sent an email to me about different books, like a list of must-read books. And I remember years ago having like a black list of must-read books. And I remember just getting all excited, honey. Just spent a whole bunch of money just ordering up all of these books. But, you know, I mean, I was just interested in, I'm like, ooh, black list, you know, because I was all into, ooh, yeah, I'm learning my history. Yes, I'm going to get myself educated. Da-da-da-da-da. So, you know, maybe we can just, like, share a book when we air. Just, you know, share a good book, a good title.
I saw a list today, ironically, incidentally. I was just looking up something else, and it just said 50 books, you know, it flashed across my screen, 50 books African-Americans should read, and I naturally clicked on, you know. And I just, you know, some of them we have. You know, some of them I was like, let me write that down. Let me make a note. Come back to this because I want to. Cause actually, I was doing something else. But that's a good point. You know, to just share some books that we should have, that we should, you know, read, skim through. Yes.
And you know what, another thing, speaking of, you know, and I've always liked lectures, I was addicted to this website, and I would say this is a great website for people, Black Consciousness, I mean, you can just type in Black Consciousness, and you can listen to, go to the DVD section, and you can just listen to clips. And some of these clips are lengthy, some of them are short, you know, some of them may be like 30 minutes, some of them maybe an hour. And you can just listen to all types of great thinkers, Dr. John Henry Clark, Dr. Ben, Dr. Francis Cress Wilson, Amos Wilson, people that we may not be quite familiar with, like Bobby Hemmett, you know, spiritual information, Phil Valentine, Dr. Jewel Pookrum. I mean, Steve Coakley, just tons of people, I mean, you can spend a year, Dr. Layla Africa. I mean, you can spend a year at least just listening to the clips. And I would say that's a good start for people. I mean, when I got hit
to that, it sure is.
I'm telling you, when I got hit to that website, now that opened my mind up to a whole nother world, and it really, really helped me be able to have a intelligent, critical analysis of us, our situation, how it came to be, where we're going, mm-hmm. and not just on the whole slavery and all this crap, but I'm talking about spiritual and esoteric information, just powerful. So check that website out. So speaking of websites, and then we're going to get into your mind, body, and spirit, Feather Light. We want you to go onto the Black Talk Radio Network website also and make your donation to the cause so that we can keep this broadcast going. There are a ton of radio hosts on Black Talk Radio Network that you should be listening to while you are cleaning up, while you are painting, while you are walking, running, exercising, doing your yoga, whatever, lounging around the house. Just take a few minutes, take some time, and listen to some of these great hosts that are here bringing you information that we need to be aware of and just listen to. We complain about the news stations. They don't do this. They don't tell us this. Well, I mean, come to Black Talk Radio Network and get informed. Get information. Get your information. And another thing, and then I'm going to move on. Also, if you are not a reader, if you're not an avid reader, now there's YouTube. You can YouTube a lot of this information. Just YouTube it. Type in, I love YouTube. Type in a subject and get in there and get your information on. Get your research on. Get your study on. Get your upliftment on. Get your own, whatever. Get it on. Just get it
together. Get it on. So,
yeah, just get it on. Just, you know, stop sitting here and just not trying to improve yourself. We have to grow into that stronger version of ourselves. When I hear people
stop
say that they don't
down
need
the same street.
Walking down the same street.
Stop stepping walking in the down same hole.
Stepping in the same hole. Go up a different avenue and stop traveling down the alley, falling in a hole, alley cat.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, because we're all about us becoming a stronger version of ourselves, empowering ourselves, and building.
Exactly.
Yeah, building. Just build. All right, so let me give out the number so people can call in if they would like to share a comment or have a question. You can give us a call and we'll get you in. The number to dial is 641-715-3660. Let me just share that again. That's 641-715-3660. And the participant code is 549032 and press pound. Now, one book that I would like to share, a book that I think that all women should have, is Sacred Woman. Sacred Woman by, who was that book by? What's the sister name out of New York? Now I got to get up and get the book. Because I'm drawing a blank on her name. Okay.
What's the name of the book?
It's Queen of Fools. Queen of Fools, Sacred Woman. It's a Black Board bestseller.
Queen of what?
Sacred Woman.
It's called Sacred Woman.
Sacred Woman. And it's a guide to healing the feminine body, mind, and spirit.
Queen of Fua.
Queen of Fua. I mean, Queen of Fua has so much information in here, like womb wellness, how to cleanse your womb. And what I really gained from this, one of my main takeaways from this book is how she talked about how we can heal our wounds and have a womb healing circle.
Right.
And So she speaks about like different teas that you can have, that you can take, what you need to do to clean, heal your womb, like if you've been molested or just experienced sexual trauma. That can be just like having multiple sex partners or the wrong sex partners.
Right. Exactly.
Different bad energies going into you. Mm-hmm. How to reduce a tumor or a cyst. Oh my gosh, she has spiritual house cleansing, how to clean your house, hydrotherapy, beautifying your place, cleaning the energy in your place. What else? I'm just kind of flipping through this book. It's a powerful book, definitely a powerful, like what fruits and juices you should have to cleanse your body, to help your body, how to prevent anger, worry, resentment, lack of forgiveness, lack of love, depression. Well, she talks about how that affects different parts of our bodies. She has different like mantras that you can say at different times of the day to help you and to help you grow. Traveling healing medicine bags, sacred spirit medicine bags, 9-to-5 healing medicine bag for work, just things to just really protect you and help us become a better woman. Seriously.
I love that book.
Yeah. I love that book. I mean, she has different recipes, transitioning out of like this American colonial diet that we have.
Right.
That's been forced upon us. Like here, this is green foods, power foods that bring divine order into your life. Celery enhances positive thinking. Cucumbers enhances forgiveness. Spinach enhances creativity. I need to eat some more spinach. Broccoli and Brussels sprouts enhances physical and mental strength and endurance. Spirulina brings forth a strong generation. Parsley enhances your spiritual life. Now, I didn't know that about parsley.
I need to get some more parsley.
Parsley. And dill, and I love dill. Dill rejuvenates bones and removes aches and pains.
Whoa!
And fresh peppermint restores hair, skin, and nerves. And turnip greens restores the blood, clears up eczema, boils, pimples, and acne. So, I mean, this book, this is like a Bible.
For the woman.
It really is. It's not one of those books that you just sit down and just say, oh, I'm going to read this book.
Oh, no.
It's a book that you have to take notes from, and you know, take notes as you're reading, make your little grocery list and your store list, because there's different things that you have to purchase.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Do some of the practices. Stop.
Do some of the practices.
You know, then get back into it.
Yeah. Get back into it.
You don't take it lightly at all. It's not like, oh, let me just read this. Oh, it's serious. It's when you really, really want to get yourself information. If you really want, you're ready for something different and move into the next level of yourself. It's a powerful book. It's a nice book to give to someone that you care about too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's definitely a good one. And then, of course, Stolen Legacy by, I believe, George D. Jackson. Definitely a good one. And anything by Anthony T. Browder. Anthony T. Browder.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Of course, definitely. And anything, of course, by Dr. John Henry Clark or Dr. Ben, Amos Wilson, anything by them. So those are my suggestions for tonight, and I'll try to share more I'll have to make myself a note to remember to add that to our program, to share a book. Read a book.
Yeah, that was a video. Yeah, we need to put that into our list of things to share.
Exactly.
Some people need to take them by the hand and lead them. Some won't follow, but those who will would be happy to share.
Yeah. And you know what? And also, I think to some people, they just won't make it. They'll just be left behind. They'll just be just where they are. That's them. Mm-hmm. And you know what?
They'll just have to repeat.
Yeah.
Repeat.
They'll just have to come back. They'll just have to come back and try it all over again. Do you have a poem or anything for us? Do you have a poem you want to read to take us to break, and then we'll come to Mind, Body, and Spirit?
Well, I don't have a poem, but let me share this natural colon cleansing recipe. Let's see. I'll give you guys a minute to pen and paper, but a couple of things that you mentioned are on this list, and I just happened to know the Sacred Woman book. So this is a natural colon cleansing, and not everybody knows, but there's a saying that says death, more than it sounds, begins in the colon. Because if you don't cleanse your colon, it poisons your blood, and your blood goes out throughout your entire system. And it affects your organs, because it has to go through all your organs. So if your colon is packed up with junk, heavy meat that will not digest, foods that are petrified in your stomach, fermented in your stomach, then that's what causes illnesses and diseases. So it's good to occasionally cleanse your colon. So here we go. One cucumber, which is hydrating, one cucumber. Two stalks of celery. Celery is detoxifying, plus it has fiber. One bunch of kale. Kale is high in minerals, along with other things. Two cups of spinach. It's high in fiber. One cup of pineapple chunks. You know that pineapple burns fat.
Wait a minute. Whoa. Pineapple burns fat?
Yeah.
I did not know.
Pineapple burns. One lemon. You know, lemon cleanse. A lot. It says lemon.
I hope everybody heard you, because I didn't. He went out.
No, she's going in and out. Sometimes if you mute them, unmute them, it might work. But you're right. Hard to hear.
Okay. Let me just hold one quick second. Let me mute you and unmute you. One second. Okay.
Or she could just have a bad line. I don't know.
Okay. You know what? Actually, this new area over here where we are, I noticed my satellite radio, I have a Sirius XM. When I get to the stop sign right here outside of where I live, then everything just goes out. And I know that right down the street, half a mile up from here, if I'm on the phone and I'm driving towards this way, going towards I-10 here in Houston, the phone just drops. So it's something about this little area over here that's supposed to be the energy area or whatever. But it's something really funny going on. There's no telling what they have going on, some crazy towers and all kinds of stuff. But anyway, so you said pineapples, and I think you said spinach, and I think you went out after that.
Oh, okay. 1 cup of pineapple chunks, 1 mm-hmm. lemon, and 2 cups mm-hmm. of purified water.
Oh,
so
okay.
1 cucumber, start over, 1 cucumber, 2 stalks of celery, 1 bunch of kale, 2 cups mm-hmm. of spinach, 1 cup of pineapple chunks, 1 lemon. Oh, I've been drinking down.
Honey, you went out again. You said 1 lemon and then there was something else.
2 cups of purified water.
Yeah, we heard that part, and then you said something.
1 lemon. Water. And I just said mix it all up and drink it down.
Okay. Do me a favor. Hang up mm-hmm. and call back in as we go to break, because you keep going out. And I know
okay.
people want to hear these recipes. So
okay.
just hang up.
I'll do that.
Call back in and we will go to break. And we want you to stay tuned. And while we're going to this break, you can go to Black Talk Radio Network and make your quick donation. And we will be right back. You're listening to The Lotus Place.
Make Black Talk Radio your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium.
The Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium.
You are tuned in to Black Talk Radio, new black media for the new millennium.
Okay, and we're back here at the Lotus Place, and we're talking about Dirty Little Secrets. We are going to play a clip of Dr. Claude Anderson tonight, a little bit later on. But before we get into that, okay, you're back now, Featherlight. I knew that you're going to come through clear for us now. Before you get into your mind, body, and spirit, let me give out the number again, 641-715-3660. And the participant code is 549032. Press pound and then press star 61 if you'd like to speak. And I remember a few years ago, a friend of mine, she, this is when like all of this YouTube and all of this stuff first started coming out. And we were laughing because she's an avid reader also. And we were laughing about this video. And it was called Read a Book. Do you remember that? You remember that little? It's like an animated video, but it's promoting reading books, how we should read. So let me just play just a little quick clip of this little video here.
Okay.
Yeah! What's up, y'all? This is your boy, T-Mike. You see, I usually do songs with, like, hooks and concepts and shit, right? But fuck that, man. I'm trying to go platinum. Somebody go rock this shit. Check this out, y'all.
Read a book, read a book, read a motherfucking book. Read a book, read a book, read a motherfucking book. Read a book, read a book, read a motherfucking
book. Oh, I didn't know that was the dirty version. Next time I'll play the clean version. But they're saying read a book, read a book, read a book, not a magazine, not a newspaper, but a book. You know, they're just saying read a book. Because you know how, like, some people, they be like, I read
right.
Essence.
Right.
I read, I don't know, whatever. I read the comic section, you know. But do you read? What was the last book that you read? That used to be a question that I used to ask guys, you know, when I would talk to them and meet them, like, on the phone, we're talking or whatever, in the first few conversations. I'm like, so what book are you reading? You know, what was the last book you read? Yeah, just to think, you know, where is your mind? What, I mean, what are you thinking about? Do you even read? You know, some people, they just don't. They just don't read. Yeah. And I mean, and I'm not trying to say that, you know, it's just a complete negative, but I mean, you do need to read something, though. You know, try to enlighten yourself a little bit. Read a little something, you know. Try to educate yourself, and don't just read books that your class assigned to you. And that's one thing I learned in school also. When I was in college, especially when I was taking my African history classes, going for my African studies degree, I didn't just read the little stupid books that were on our syllabus, because those books weren't anything. That was crap right there. I read other books that would educate me about African history, like the real African history, like ancient African history. I don't want to hear nothing about that damn slave shit. I wanted to really read something. Like, for me to have taken study African and African American history in college and earn my degree in it, never was a book by Dr. John Henry Clark on that syllabus. Or Chekhov, Amos Wilson, Chancellor. None of these people, Dr. Francis Crutchfield, none of these people on the syllabus. There were always all these old off-brand Negroes, you know, something like that they had us reading, you know. So, no, I knew, thank goodness, I had friends that were considered, like, we used to call them hood scholars, and, you know, they would tell you, you need to read this. Now, when you finish reading it, then read this. And that's how we learned consciousness and became aware. You know, they put you on a schedule, a reading schedule. You know, I had people that put me on a reading schedule, and they said, you read this, then read that, so you can understand that, and read that. This. And that. You know what I'm saying? So that's how I was able to gain some knowledge and awareness. And then, you know, when you finish reading that book, go to the back, look at that bibliography page, and then you read where they got their information from to write that book.
Exactly.
That's called critical reading. Because somebody can write a book and distort everything in it based on what they read. But then you go back and you read where they gained their information from to write that book, and you may come up with something completely different. You might want to write another book, you may want to write another book, and you can dispel something that they wrote or agree with it or disagree with it.
Exactly,
right? So
exactly.
critical reading, critical thinking will bring about critical analysis.
And
not have I think who was the first person I heard? It was either I think it was Dr. King used to say. I know I heard Dr. Leonard Jeffries, another scholar that was never on any of my syllabus. Is it syllabus or syllabi? What did you say?
Syllabi.
Right. He said a paralysis of analysis. Paralysis of analysis. You can't analyze anything because you just paralyzed. You're stuck on stupid. You got a mental chain, a mental block, rather, on your a mental block in or on your head, and that's, you know, for some people, and you know they have a mental block when you're talking to them, because it's just like certain things that you say, it just triggers that anger in them, and they, I don't want to hear that. Mental block. Paralysis of analysis. It's no sense in me trying to talk to you. You don't get it. I can't force you right here and right now in this moment. I drop these little pearls of wisdom. You can either pick it up or don't pick it up, whatever. But I don't try to beat people over the head with knowledge. That's one thing I just I learned. It just doesn't work. And, you know, just don't waste your time with it. If they want to learn, they'll learn. Yes, they'll grab it. They'll pick it up. They'll pick it up and run with it. Maybe they won't. So, anyway. Feather Light, you have a mind, body, and spirit for us. I'm ready for it.
All right. The mind, body, and spirit for tonight, this Wednesday, June 22nd, what do we run? What are we running? What do we run? What are we running except for our lives?
Oh, happy solstice. Happy solstice.
Oh,
I'm so sorry. I meant to say that. Solstice. Happy solstice to you and everybody.
Thank you. Same to you. Right back at you. All right. What are we running except for our lives? Asians run the beauty supply stores and the nail shops. Here in Houston,
they're about to lose that. The sisters are opening up shops, and they have this hair connection now. So they're about to lose that.
They got the connection? Because so long they locked them out.
Yes.
They were locked out of the connection. They were locked out of the connection. So now they
have the complexion for the connection. Oh, yeah.
All right.
Oh, yes.
Excellent. Okay. Here in Houston, the Asians run the massage and spa businesses. The Indians run the gas stations.
And the
Native
hotels.
Americans, and the hotels.
They own all those palace hotels, motels, or whatever. Anyway.
Okay.
Sorry.
The Native Americans run the casinos. Here in Houston, Latinos run pretty much the fast food restaurants. I don't know what they're doing in other places, but when I go in a fast food restaurant, I see that. Here, Mexicans have the market share of construction. They do the work cheap, and they get a lot of the construction business. So what do we do? What do we specialize in? We specialize in spending money. We are the biggest consumers in the nation and have nothing to show for it. Now, as you said, with the coming of the age, we're picking up speed. But let me give you some facts and figures. It's a revolving, it has been a revolving door in our pockets back to theirs. Them making off like bandits, while we are the least respected, least supported, least credited for whatever magnificent thing we create. And of course, as you know, we get the least amount of justice when it comes to fairness in the court of law. So we are living in a survival mode, making a little money, spending it, and being thankful just to make it home safely. That's a perpetual state of fear, and that also does a great deal of harm to our the first chakra, which is a root chakra, and that's based on feeling safe and secure and feeling like you have a right to be here on this planet, and that is challenged a lot for African Americans. But back to my point, perpetual state of fear, which fear is a false evidence appearing real. Those are what the letters stand for. We are
say that again. Say that part again.
Fear. Fear is a false evidence appearing real. Okay? All right? We are constantly at each other. We don't really support each other. Whites, the other groups, whites, Latinos, Asians, Mexicans, Native Americans, they all support one another for the greater good. When they're in trouble, for instance, whites, they can hate each other's guts with a vengeance, but will stand side by side even if they know it's wrong. African Americans, we act as if we don't want the greater good. A lot of us still have that slave mentality of division, you know, light versus dark, field versus the house, uphill versus the downhill house, rich master versus the poor master, and so on, male versus female. So How's that working for us? Not very well. So according to a new report, the latest report published by the Nielsen Stats, African Americans have a current buying power of $1 trillion. I didn't say billion, I said trillion, as in T, T as in Tom, which is forecasted to reach $1.3 trillion by the year 2017. To be at the bottom of the poll for everything else, we sure spend a lot. Now, in collaboration with the National Publishing Association, African Americans show a quote-unquote notable distinction from other consumer groups. 43 million strong, African Americans have a unique behavior from the total market. We are more aggressive consumers of media and shop more frequently. Now, we are more aggressive consumers of media. Who owns the media? Corporations that control what is relayed to the public about African Americans, and also who have a strong interest in the prison industrial system. But we support them heavily. They also have strings with the powers that be who control the social programs, including the educational structure. African Americans shop more frequently and also watch more television, 37%. Programming, people, you're watching it, and it is watching you. Television tells lies to your vision. It is programming you. That's why they call it program. So, America likes to play on words. Pay attention to the words that they use. TV programs, programmed, TV is programming you. You remember, speaking of books, some years ago, I came across an article, a book. It was in a book in the library. I was still going to the library. And it mentioned the government setting, it was something called Project X, where they wanted to put all the African Americans in certain areas and just keep them in those areas, fence them in those areas.
Right.
So that they can just be on top of each other.
Right, right. Moving black people out of homes and moving them into these tall structures.
Exactly.
And it was a project, thus the name Project.
It was called Project X. And so then they dropped the X, and so that's where we get the name Projects from. So African Americans make more shopping trips, 8 per week, purchase more ethnic beauty and grooming products. Oh my, that's a shocker. Now, this is interesting. African Americans read more financial magazines, 24%, and spend more than twice the time at personal hosted websites. Now, that is the honest to goodness truth. We make so much money for this guy who came up with Facebook. We are on there twice as much as any other group. African Americans make an average of 156 shopping trips per year compared to 146 for the total market. African Americans shop more frequently at drug stores, we're sicker, convenience stores, and other dollar stores. Overall, health and beauty supply stores have an average household penetration rate of 46% among African Americans. The average black household spends an average of $94 in this store channel each year. Now, here are the stats, and this is from a chart, so I just got the figures from the chart. African Americans compared to the total population. Grocery stores. African Americans spend 53% of their money in the grocery stores compared to the total population, 56%. That's a big difference. Supercenters. African Americans, 23%. Total population, 24%. Dollar stores. African Americans, 20%. Total population, 13%. Convenience and gas stations. African Americans, 15%. Total population, 13%. Drug stores. African Americans, 15%. Total population, 14%. Mass merchandise, African Americans 10%, total population 12%. Warehouse clubs like Sam's and what's that other one? I can't think of it, but 9%, total population 12%. So this does not include the gas-only places and the drugstore-only places. Now, here's a little bit of tidbit about smartphones and iPhone preference. African Americans prefer 27% use iPhone, 73% use the Android. The total population, 41% use the iPhone, and 59% use the Android. Now, those are the stats. Black Street, Black Wall Street, was formed, ironically, because the white population would not take our money in their stores. They refused. Even though it was green, just like theirs, they would not take our money. We were not allowed to shop in their stores. So this forced the African Americans in Tulsa to shop only with each other. And as a result, they became better off than many of their white counterparts. Better schools. Many of them had plumbings before the whites did. They had pianos, furs, and all kinds of good stuff. Now, can you imagine the impact that would be made if we just cut our expenditures by one half? That's economics. That's economics. We have so much power in economics. Listening to the figures that I just gave you, do you know how much we would hurt them because of the money that we spend in all of these areas? Why don't we just, you know, wise up and do like the porcupine in the porcupine story I was reading earlier a few weeks ago. Deal with our sharp quills that we all have and stick together for power and protection. We are, as African Americans, the most creative, industrious beings on the planet. We can make anything out of anything because we are so innovative. We have the least to work with, yet we are the biggest consumers of products and services. Consider how African Americans make others rich and famous. Oh my gosh, we made so many people rich. Rich and famous from our talents and skills. I mean, just speaking of Muhammad Ali, who transitioned just recently, all the people that he made famous. What was that guy's name? Oh my gosh,
Howard Cosell.
Yes, you wouldn't know anything about this knucklehead if it hadn't been for, pardon me for saying knucklehead, just speak. If it hadn't been for Muhammad Ali. I mean, he loved him some Muhammad Ali, because where he was, that's where Howard Cosell was. But because they managed us, that's all. We allowed them to manage us. They've been managing us since, you know, slavery. In closing, the universe is total energy. Love energy is the strongest. The heart has a vibrational level that's three times stronger than the brain. Sexual energy is number two, and creative energy is next. African Americans possess the most creative energy on this planet because of our dominant melanin content. We are highly intelligent, and although many of us have been inaccurately convinced of the opposite, we are incredibly proficient with numbers. It is impossible to build a structure like the pyramid and the Sphinx without a superior grasp of mathematics.
Absolutely.
It's impossible. And even though it's one of those world miracles, you hardly ever hear the credit given to blacks. They want to say brown skin whites or something. They don't want to give credit to Africans. But they cannot explain how those structures were built. The only other assumption that they could, you know, come up with is that we were visited by others, you know, not from this planet, and they came here and they built it. Okay, So why did they choose Africa if they did? The Europeans sure as hell can't take credit for it. They can't explain it. So imagine what we could do with all those talents, gifts, and consumer power, not to mention our spiritual connection and our melanin consciousness, if we started from home base. Self-love. Self-love. That's what I'm preaching. Self-love. Start there. Namaste.
Namaste. Namaste. Day, Feather Light. And I just want to say this. Wait, let me give you your hand clap.
Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Definitely on the piece in terms of the numbers and using numbers to build, not only do we as African people use numbers, like say to build, we also use numbers in music. I think it's Sanskrit music.
Sanskrit,
Sanskrit,
yes,
music.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay.
Indian musicians, they create the music by using numbers. It's a number system, and of course the Indians, you know, learn through their African ancestors.
Exactly.
Ancestors, because, you know, black people migrated over into India just like they migrated over here in America.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you have the untouchables, the darker skinned Indians, and a lot of these Indians that we see here in Houston, they darker than some black, a lot of black.
Oh, yes, a lot of us.
Yeah, I remember
a lot of us.
Some neighbors that I had, that some of them were darker than I am.
Yep.
So anyway, back to the point. The numbers, using numbers, this system, this wicked, insidious, nefarious system, and these people will have black people thinking that we can't, that we're not proficient in math.
Right.
Growing up, I have heard more black people say, I don't like math.
Yes.
I don't like math.
Yes.
Because they've ingrained it into our heads that we're not smart.
That we're not good, yeah.
We're not good at math, only because they kept us out of these particular math classes and things like that. But we are good at math. It's in our DNA, and once I learned that, and see, that's why I keep saying, I wish that we could sue the Department of Education, because I too used to say that, oh, I don't like math.
Me too.
Even though I was good at it. Hell, I was an algebra tutor. But just knowing, or just being taught and told, rather, that, you know, black people not that good at math, you're not that good at that, you know, y'all good at cooking and dancing, playing basketball.
Right.
You know, things like that.
Singing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, singing and dancing, entertaining. Entertainment.
Right.
So, and do a manual labor. And so I had to overcome that once I learned my history, that we've always been good with numbers. We've been great with everything because we pretty much created a lot of the arts, the sciences, medicine. So how is it that we, you know, can be good at math when it's in us? It's in we.
It's natural. In we.
It's in we.
And that's how, when you were speaking of the music, math using music, that's how we came up with the sound of the universe. You know, the om.
Exactly.
Using numbers.
Yes,
how else can you figure out what the sound of the universe is making? What kind of sound the universe is making? How in the world can you do that? You do it with numbers.
With numbers.
Om. Yes. Mm-hmm. It's all about numbers. It's all about math.
It's everything is about numbers. And once
once
I learned that, I said, bam, another chain was broken.
Yes.
Another chain was broken because everything goes back to the numbers, numbers, numbers.
Yep.
That's why right now everything is always about a numbers game. Every job you go to, it's about numbers. It's either numbers in ratings, numbers in how many sales, numbers of how many cars you sell, numbers in this, numbers in that, how many people did this, have everything is numbers, numbers,
it
numbers,
sure is.
Numbers.
It sure is.
Numbers, numbers games.
Black people
numbers used to be the numbers runners.
Right.
And then they took that from us and turned it over and changed it into a lottery.
A lottery.
They want to lock people up for it. You know, now you want to lock people up for illegal gambling and all of this. But you stole that idea from us. That was the way for black people to make money. From my understanding, that's what the old heads told me. So, you know. But that was a great piece. I really enjoyed it. We need to take a quick break, Featherlight.
Okay.
So we'll take a break. And while we're on our break, once again, we want you to go to Black Talk Radio Network page and make your kind donation to the cause,
to
Black
the cause.
Media, to the cause.
So we can keep doing what we're doing.
Yes, yes. Because Black radio matters. Black radio matters. Like I say, Black lives matter. Black radio matters.
Mm-hmm. Every day.
All
Please.
Day.
Every day.
It matters. It matters. And it really can matter if you donate. So we need you to donate. Yes. Oh, and speaking of which, something that has, well, I don't know if it's really been in corporate media because I don't watch that news, but Ghana is flooding. It's been flooding for a week. I mean, you thought we were flooding over here. What was that, back in April? Oh, my God. Ghana is, like, seriously flooding. Go on YouTube and look at some of the videos. So my strength and prayers go out to the people in Ghana. And I meant to mention that at the beginning of the show. Yeah, I mean, they're, like, seriously flooding. It's been flooding for, like, days, weeks. And,
weeks?
They're flooding. Like, serious flooding, like worse than Katrina flooding.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's terrible. And I have not seen any type of little Facebook donation pages, you know, all of this stuff, like they wanted us to donate to whoever the hell. It's always donate to somebody if it's outside of Africa, you know. So I haven't seen anything like that. I haven't been getting any kind of news flashes, nothing like that. But they have been flooding, I think, since like the first of this month, around like the first week of this month. And I've been meaning to bring that up and mention that. And it once again goes to show you how this corporate media have you all tripped up on some other stupid crap. But anyway, yeah, so
distractions.
Prayers go out. Distractions. Thank you, distractions. And we need to send a message to Cicely, because I don't know if she still lives in Ghana, if she's over here now.
Oh,
I know she's been
posting
on Instagram. It seemed like she was here in the States, maybe just visiting, but I know they live over there in Ghana, so we need to check on her. But so send your prayers out. Check on your people if you have some people over in Ghana. We'll take a break, and we'll be right back.
Okay.
Make Black Talk Radio your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium.
No, I'm not a writer.
Okay.
Black Talk Radio, since 2008, providing new black media for the masses.
All right, and we're back here at the Lotus Place, and I did find that clip about Read a Book. I found the Queen version. Yep, I found the Queen version, and I'm just going to play a little bit of this because I kind of like what he's saying. And I remember we laughed so hard when we first heard this. Okay.
Yeah! What's up, y'all? This is your boy, D-Mike. See, I usually do songs with, like, hooks and concepts, right? I'm trying to like a platter. Somebody go rock this. Check this out, y'all. Read a book, read a book, read a book. Read a book, read a book, read a book. Read a book, read a book, read a book. Read a book, read a book, read a book. R-E-A-B-A-B-O, okay.
And we thought that was just the craziest thing. But if you listen to, and sometimes you have to give it to them like that.
Yeah.
For some of these young people, you have to put it in a little rap song with some music. But he's really dropping some little pearls. He's saying, read a book, read a book.
Mm-hmm.
Not a magazine, not a sports page, but a book.
Right. Right.
Not just don't just read your little magazines and your comments.
Looking at the pictures.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but no, read a book.
Hmm.
Okay, and then he says, raise your kids.
Right.
I don't like to call them kids. I call them children. Raise your children. Raise your children. Drink water.
Yeah.
He said, drink water. Your body needs it.
Your body needs it.
Drink.
Most
drink
important.
Some water. Exactly. And then this is the one I love. Buy some land. He said, buy some land.
Yeah, I was surprised to hear that.
He said, buy some land.
I didn't know that was in there.
And buy some land, not some rims. Buy some land, not some rims.
Not some rims.
You remember we were looking at that show, The Wire.
Yes.
And the guy was looking at the rims, and the rims were like $10,000 a piece.
Yes, I couldn't believe it.
Exactly.
I could not believe it. I have to ask you, did he say $10,000
each? $10,000. Yeah.
Amazing.
I knew that it had some $10,000 rims. I knew
really?
That money like that. Yeah.
Those wow. Were
Fancy little rims that they used to buy. I don't think people buy all of that stuff anymore because they know they'll get killed for that crap. But buy some land, not some rims, and brush your teeth and wear deodorant.
Giving
people
facts.
Some basic facts, simple instruction.
Yeah.
Simple instruction.
I love
and sometimes
that.
You just have to give it to people that way. You have to just give it to them in a way that they can kind of like get it through what may seem like a little song or joke or riddle or something, but that's how we learn our ABCs, through singing.
Right.
Yes.
Yes.
So read a book. Exactly. Now, I want to get into the Sam Cooke clip. Why Did They Kill Sam Cooke? I believe that's the title of this. And why don't you give them a little verse of that Sam Cooke song you like, Feather Light. Since you said you're breaking boundaries and breaking chains, and you said you don't sing, but now you sing or something like that. Yeah. See, I'll be quiet.
But I be listening. I be quiet. I be listening.
Oh,
Sam Cooke, come on, give us a little line.
Let me see.
Change gonna come.
Yeah, no, I know. I'm trying to think of the, how it starts.
I have to look at the words. I have to look at the words. It's been a long time coming, but I know
change
gonna come. Oh, yes, you will. What's the other part I like?
I was born by the river.
In a little tent, yeah.
Oh, and just like the river,
I've been running
ever since.
It's been a long
time,
coming, but I know
change gonna come.
That's it. I'm telling you, change gonna come, baby. Change gonna come.
He died shortly after that. He died after recording that, and they knew. Well, this video talks about that. But they knew that was going to be a hit, and that he was encouraged to go ahead on and write the women. I may be getting him confused. No, I think that was Otis Redding, the Dock on the Bay song. They knew that the Dock on the Bay was going to be a big hit, but I think Sam Cooke, too. They knew that both of them, Sam Cooke and Otis Redding, were encouraged to record those last big hits. They knew that those were going to be hits. Not Sam Cooke or Otis Redding, but I think like their managers, when they encouraged them, some kind of way they just knew, or either they were going to promote it to be a big hit, and it would just catch on because the songs were so profound.
Wow.
And Sam Cooke did never really get to see, you know, the profoundness of this song. I mean, when he wrote it, he asked his friend, what did he think of it?
Mm.
And he said it sounded kind of scary. It sounded kind of, you know, like, ooh, 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 you know. And shortly after that, he passed.
He passed.
He passed. Mm-hmm. Before it, you know, became really popular. You know,
right.
Before it became a hit. He didn't get a chance
before
to
it became
see
it.
Yeah, he didn't get a chance to see that.
All right. Well, let's get into this clip because I've been trying to play this clip for probably like about a month. So I want to go ahead on and share this. And then next week we'll probably share the Otis Redding clip. And then we'll bring on the clip with the James Brown song. He talks about Sam Cooke and what James Brown were trying to pull together before Sam Cooke was killed. All right, here we go. Sam Cooke. Why they killed Sam Cooke.
This video is brought to you by a donation from Jonathan. He wanted to know if there was a cover-up with the Sam Cooke murder case. Sam Cooke is known as the King of Soul and was a pioneer in the music industry. He was one of the first musicians to create a company to manufacture and package his records. Sam Cooke always said a white man would never end up with everything he made and worked for. And unfortunately, that's exactly what happened. All right, so let's take a look at why they killed Sam Cooke. In this first section, I want to speak about Sam being a pioneer. So Sam Cooke was a gospel singer. He left gospel music because the money was in secular music. Sam wanted to make it big and then go back and bring more gospel singers into secular music. Sam is commonly known as the King of Soul. Not only was Sam a great singer, he was a hit songwriter. Sam had 29 consecutive top 40 hits between 1957 and 1964. From the hit songs You Send Me, which was number one in both the U.S. pop and R&B charts, to Wonderful World, Chain Gang, Twisting the Night Away, Change Gonna Come, and Bring It On Home to Me, and many more. One day at a barbershop in Los Angeles, Fats Domino thought Sam was crazy when he asked him if he ever thought about owning his own music, copyright, and catalog. Sam Cooke started his own recording company, Tracy LTD, named after his daughter, which would manufacture and package his recordings. Now let's get into a section I call Personality and Background. Sam Cooke learned a lot about black history from Muhammad Ali and Malcolm X. Sam would purchase black history books and pass it out to black kids in the neighborhood. Sam would stop in the hood and break up fights. Sam had a big heart and didn't forget where he came from. Sam got around and had a lot of women and ran through many church girls. Now let's talk about the official story of how Sam Cooke died. Alright, so let's take a look at the official story of Sam Cooke's death. Sam Cooke died at the age of 33 on December the 11th, 1964, at the Hacienda Motel at 9137 South Figueroa Street in Los Angeles, California. Answering separate reports of a shooting and a kidnapping at the motel, police found Cooke's body, clad only in a sports jacket and shoes, but no shirt, pants, or underwear. He had sustained a gunshot wound to the chest, which was later determined to have pierced his heart. The motel's manager, Bertha Franklin, said she had shot Cooke in self-defense after he broke into her office residence and attacked her. Her account was immediately questioned and disputed by friends and acquaintances. The official police records state that Franklin fatally shot Cooke, who had checked in earlier that evening. Franklin claimed that Cooke had broken into the manager's office apartment in a rage, wearing nothing but a shoe and a sports coat, demanding to know the whereabouts of a woman who had accompanied him to the hotel. Franklin said the woman was not in the office and that she told Cooke this, but the enraged Cooke did not believe her and violently grabbed her, demanding again to know the woman's whereabouts. According to Franklin, she grappled with Cooke, the two of them fell to the floor, and she then got up and ran to retrieve her gun. She said she then fired at Cooke in self-defense because she feared for her life. Cooke was struck once in the torso, according to Franklin. He exclaimed, "Lady, you shot me," before mounting a last charge at her. She said she beat him over the head with a broomstick before he finally fell, mortally wounded by the gunshot. The motel's manager, Evelyn Carr, claimed that she had been on the telephone with Franklin at the time of the incident. Carr claimed to have overheard Cooke's intrusion and the ensuing conflict and gunshot. She called the police to request that officers go to the motel, telling them she believed a shooting had occurred. A coroner's inquest was convened to investigate the incident. The woman who had accompanied Cooke to the motel was identified as Alicia Boyer, who had also called police that night shortly before Carr had. Boyer had called from a telephone booth near the hotel, telling them she had just escaped being kidnapped. Boyer told the police that she had first met Cooke early that night and had spent the evening in his company. She claimed that after they left the local nightclub together, she had repeatedly requested that he take her home, but he instead took her against her will to the Hacienda Motel. She claimed that once in one of the motel's rooms, Cooke physically forced her onto the bed and that she was certain he was going to rape her. According to Boyer, when Cooke stepped into the bathroom for a moment, she quickly grabbed her clothes and ran from the room. She claimed that in her haste, she also scooped up most of Cooke's clothing by mistake. She said she ran first to the manager's office and knocked on the door seeking help. However, she said the manager took too long in responding, so fearing Cooke would soon be coming after her, she fled from the motel before the manager ever opened the door. She said she then put her clothing back on, hid Cooke's clothing, went to the telephone booth, and called police. Boyer's story is the only account of what happened between her and Cooke that night. However, her story has long been called into question. Inconsistencies between her version of events and details reported by other witnesses, as well as circumstantial evidence, suggest that Boyer may have gone willingly to the motel with Cooke and then slipped out of the room with his clothing in order to rob him rather than escape an attempted rape. However, questions about Boyer's role were beyond the scope of the inquest, the purpose of which was only to establish the circumstances of Franklin's role in the shooting. Boyer's leaving the motel room with almost all of Cook's clothing, and the fact that Tess showed Cook was inebriated at the time provided a plausible explanation to the inquest jurors of Cook's bizarre behavior and state of dress. In addition, because Carr's testimony corroborated Franklin's version of events, and because both Boyer and Franklin later passed lie detector tests, the coroner's jury ultimately accepted Franklin's explanation and returned a verdict of justifiable homicide. With that verdict, authorities officially closed the case of Cook's death. Some of Cook's family and supporters, however, have rejected Boyer's version of events, as well as those given by Franklin and Carr. They believe that there was a conspiracy to murder Cook, and that the murder took place in some manner entirely different from the three official accounts. Singer Etta James viewed Cook's body before his funeral and questioned the accuracy of the official version of events. She wrote that the injuries she observed were well beyond the official account of Cook having fought Franklin alone. James wrote that Cook was so badly beaten that his head was nearly separated from his shoulders. His hands were broken and crushed, and his nose mangled. Some people speculated that Cook's manager, Alan Klein, might have had a role in his death. Alan owned Tracy LTD, which ultimately owned all the rights of Cook's recordings. Alright, so now let's take a look at what really happened. So first I want to start off by saying that Sam Cook was a bachelor. He was a ladies' man. And Barbara also got around. She was loose. So Sam got Barbara pregnant, and his father told him to just go ahead and marry her, being that he's coming from a religious background. He was doing gospel music. His father said, hey, do the right thing. Just marry the girl, which was a big mistake. Well, let's continue. So Barbara began to withhold sex from Sam, and as a result, Sam, being a ladies' man, being a bachelor, continued to do his thing on the side. Barbara got into an affair with the 19-year-old Bobby Womack. Barbara was unloyal and claimed she was upset about Sam's affairs. Sam was aware of his wife's infidelity. Sam hired Alan Klein as his manager, and Alan helped him secure a contract with RCA. Sam asked Alan to set up the company Tracy LTD, named after his daughter, for him, and Alan took the money and set himself up as the owner. Sam made his friend J.W. Alexander a business partner, but J.W. Alexander didn't have his best interests at heart. In the company Tracy LTD, Sam Cook was the president, but the president is not the owner. J.W. Alexander was the vice president, Sam's father was on the board of directors, and Alan Klein was his secretary. On the official record, the owner of the company was Alan Klein. Alan set the articles of incorporation up for him to be the owner. He manipulated the paperwork and gave Sam phony documents. One day, Sam Cook found out Klein was robbing him and was going to fire him, but Klein had the phone tapped and heard Sam's plans. Sam was about to divorce Barbara, and the final straw was when their 2-year-old son died by venturing outside and falling in the pool while she was on the phone with some man. When they found out what Sam was going to do, they planned his murder. They conspired to kill Sam to prevent him from cutting them off. Klein, J.W. Alexander, Barbara, and Los Angeles Mob Associates was in on it. Associates with the Los Angeles Mob played a role in financing Sam's career earlier on. Sam only wanted to use them up to a certain point and then move on. It's believed that Associates with the Mob was involved with his death and cover-up. Boyer, a prostitute, already knew Sam from previous encounters. A Mickey was put in Sam's drink, and it's believed that Alicia was the one who did it. They both left martinis and went to the PJs, and then Sam got into a scuffle with a guy that tried to holler at Alicia, the prostitute. The Mickey kicked in, and the killers drove off with Sam and Boyer. Someone else then drove Sam's Ferrari to South Central Los Angeles. The killers stripped Sam naked and then beat him to death. Alright, so now let's take a look at my final thoughts and some books that I recommend. Now, the first book I recommend is The Polygamous Papers by Hondo Solomon. Now, me personally, I don't believe that monogamy is natural. And even for those religious people out there, even in the Bible, it talks about polygamy. We had Esau, Solomon, David, Moses, Jacob. They all had multiple wives. So I do recommend you guys to go ahead and purchase this book and soak in the information. I don't think marriage is a good idea in the United States because of the gynocentric society we live in, and because the court system is rigged, whereas someone can just divorce you and take half of what you have. So it's really ridiculous. So go ahead and check this book out. And then we have The Manipulated Man. This book was written by Esther Villar, a female. I do recommend this book for men in the United States, especially because the race wars, the hangings, the burn-ins were predicated upon white females lying and saying that they were raped by black men. And then you had these white simps go around burning, looting, and hanging black men. And now we have the single mother epidemic in the black community. And now we see an influx of simps and manginas in the black community who are completely oblivious to female nature and how to be a man. So I do recommend getting this book. It has changed my life. The Manipulated Man by Esther Villar.
Okay, I just want to stop it right there because I do want to get into a little bit of Dr. Claude Anderson before we close out. But what do you think about that clip, Featherlight, on Sam Cooke?
You know, I did some research on on Sam Cooke's death because, like, let's see, who else was there who had a very strange death? I can't think of the name right now, it escapes me. But I just didn't believe what the media had put out, like I don't believe more than half the things that they do put out. So I came with with, you know, similar conclusions that the guy just spoke of. And in addition to what I just heard, shortly before, the same evening, or maybe the day before, Sam was seen in a restaurant talking with these mob guys, and he was actually cutting them loose. You know, we kind of make the mistake of, you know, using their money to get ahead, to get the things that we need, and then they want to take over, as they usually do, and they don't want us to cut them out. So they knew that they were being cut out, so they couldn't stand for that. They couldn't stand for Sam Cooke just taking his own music and just building his own empire without them. I mean, they don't do any work, like I said, except manage and maybe fund. But so far as doing the actual work, they don't do anything. And so when they feel that they're being cut out, then guess what happens? They you know, the person comes up dead. So, I can't think of the word. His very good friend, she's a singer. Gosh, her name escapes me. I'll think of it in a minute. But she saw his body. She noticed that, like you said, like you guys said.
Goodness. You know what? I know who you're talking about. And I'm drawing a blank on her name too. It was somebody like Aretha Franklin or Eartha Kitt. It was somebody like that around during that time. I know. I remember reading that too.
I think it's Mom's favorite singer. She's been around for ages. She was a very good close friend of Sam's, and she knew that what the media put out about this hotel manager shooting him, Sam Cooke coming at her half naked and all of that, that was a lie, you know. And beating him with a broom, please, and having his nose mangled and his head partially, you know, severed from his body. A broom does not do that. His fingers broken. You don't do that with a broom. That is signs of people of the mob, you know, beating him to death. So it is very clear that the hotel manager was in on it. She got paid. Barbara was having an affair with his best friend. Who did he just mention? Bobby Womack. You know, that was his best friend. That was the one that I said that he'd ask him after he wrote the song, what do you think of this song? And he said, well, I like it, but it sounds really kind of scary. It sounds sort of death-like, you know. And Bobby Womack was in on it. Sam Cooke's wife, who he was, you know, seeing on the side, she was in on it because with the divorce she would be cut out. The mob was in on it. You know, it was a conspiracy to get rid of Sam Cooke. And this lie about the hotel manager and the prostitute, of course. If you're a prostitute, even if you're somebody that's picked up by somebody like Sam Cooke, I mean, he was a debonair. He was he drove a Ferrari, for one thing. Just think of that. He doesn't have to kidnap. She said she was kidnapped. She wanted to leave, and she couldn't. Well, please. She went with him willingly. If she wanted to leave, she could have just left. The thing about grabbing his clothes by mistake, come on. No. I don't believe any of that whatsoever. They beat that man to death. And then they covered it up, as they always do, you know. So it's one of those, it's not a mystery, it's just a cover-up. It's just a cover-up. And those are just I really regret the fact that he did not live long enough to see his song become such a hit. And then right after the song was released, it was right along the time of the Civil Rights Movement, and so they took that song up, and you know that was the song that was played in the movie Malcolm X. With Denzel Washington, and they use that as their sort of like an anthem type of a song. Change is going to come, but it was really kind of weird the way the song was written, and then just within months after he wrote the song, he was dead. In less than 6 months after writing the song.
Sam Cooke, and you can just simply Google Death of Sam Cooke, and you can find different writings. Pan-African Newswire talks about the conspiracy. I read that
Roberta Flack, that's her name.
Roberta Flack?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah. She was his
friend. That's interesting. Because Roberta Flack was also involved with Donny Hathaway. He died mysteriously. You know, I used to hear some things about Roberta Flack. Now, I don't know how true they are. I'm not going to go into all of that right now. But No. Roberta Flack, I don't know now. A little suspicious now, man dropping dead around you now. What's going on? But she was a friend of his, right? And she felt that it was something suspicious about his death.
Now I may be wrong on that. I may have gotten her mixed up with who did you say she was involved with? The death that she was involved with?
Donny Hathaway. Because she was dating Donny Hathaway when he so-called committed suicide, right? That's another suspicious death also, Donny Hathaway.
Yeah, now he was bipolar.
So they say.
So they say.
Sometimes I think that, especially back then, people that were just different and highly intelligent and connected to different dimensions.
Yes.
I
like
think
they
that
do
we
ADD
just,
people, ADHD
yeah,
people.
Or autistic children.
Exactly.
It's nothing, that's not a disease. There's nothing wrong with them. They are just connected to a different dimension. They're just
they're
more
on a different
sensitive.
Level altogether. Different,
different level.
Yes.
Yes. They're just more sensitive than we are. They're more connected than some other people are. That is not an illness. There's nothing wrong with them at all. So, yeah, don't give them all that crazy medicine. With autistic children, you have to put them on a different diet. They have to be on a special
they
diet.
Do.
They can't have all of the sugar. And
sugar.
And all of that stuff. It's a drug. Sugar
yeah.
is a drug. So you,
yeah.
can't
and it
have,
doesn't mix well with high melanin content.
That's right.
You know,
that's
it
right.
throws it off.
Yeah.
It's
autistic
a drug.
Children, you have to put them on what they call like a paleo or microbiotic diet. You just have to remove all of that fructose from their system, give them a lot of fruits and vegetables, and they'll be fine.
Yeah.
Put them in some music classes and arts classes, and they will be just fine. They're just not meant to do this other simple stuff that everybody else do. They're meant to do some
right.
other things. So,
right.
but yeah, thank you for that commentary. I'm going to go ahead on for just the last few minutes before we close out. I want to go ahead on and share a little bit of this Dirty Little Secrets clip, and we'll pick back up on the rest of this on next week. And this is Dirty Little Secrets with Dr. Claude Anderson. Thank you so much, Feather Life, for sharing your mind, body, and spirit. We certainly appreciate it.
You know what? One thing, before you go to that,
mm-hmm.
I forgot to mention in my reading. I kind of skipped over it unintentionally. I wanted to say this. Hold on a second. Just a minute.
While you're getting that together, we just want to remind people that you can, of course, donate to Black Talk Radio Network, and also donate to the Lotus Place Radio Show by going to our PayPal, and the email is thelotusplaceradio@gmail.com. You can donate to our show as well to keep us airing and to support our research endeavors. So you have your information together?
No, this connection, like you said, it's going kind of slow. So you go ahead. I'll probably mention it at another time. But it was kind of interesting, the fact that I think it was 67% or 77% of African Americans own iPhones.
Mm-hmm.
Compared to like 56% of the whole population, which is kind of interesting because if you think about it, where we get those phones from is from slave blood, the mechanics,
the chips
the chips that go into
the gemstones that
yes.
they use for
yes.
the phone, mm-hmm.
right, that is from slave labor in Africa. And
mm-hmm.
if you look at that movie Avatar, that sort of tells a story, you know,
mm-hmm.
how they went over there, moved those Africans off the land because they wanted those stones so that they can become rich with the phone industry.
The minerals
that we have now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Definitely. Speaking of which, I read recently that the gemstone lapis lazuli is now being considered a conflict mineral. But let me just say this. Yeah, conflict mineral, like diamonds are conflict minerals. But
okay.
let me just say this right here. Y'all not going to stop me from wearing my lapis lazuli just because you're telling me now it's a conflict mineral. It's been a conflict mineral for a while. It wouldn't be a conflict mineral if you stopped having slave labor going and mining the minerals. If you would just let people go and mine for themselves, and not
right.
for some U.S. or British or French company that has
mm-hmm.
taken over the land. Because
exactly.
lapis lazuli is a mineral that the creators put on this earth for us to use for its powers.
Right.
And you're not going to stop me from using that. Because I have a lapis lazuli
bracelet, and I'm gonna wear it.
Yes, please.
Now, I don't
do.
Care anything about any diamonds, but now when you get down to the real gemstones,
they
really
gemstones.
Matter. Yeah, the,
right.
the real ones. Because if people really knew that diamond, that's out of all the hundreds of minerals that we have on this earth, tiger's eye, amethyst, carnelian, quartz, rose quartz, jasper, malachite.
Malachite.
I mean, just all the various minerals that are in different parts, tiger's eye, different parts
Aquamarine.
Of different parts of the planet. The diamond is the one with the least amount of value
least amount
and power.
Mm-hmm.
The least amount of value
the
and
Western
power.
Put that value on it so that they can sell it. Yes.
Exactly.
But it doesn't have any power. None at all.
Does absolutely nothing for you. And a price tag has been placed on that, and we have been bamboozled.
Mm-hmm.
Duped into thinking that the diamond is so precious, and it's not. It's the lapis lazuli and the amethyst, the quartz.
Right.
You can take a piece of crystal quartz and put it in your glove compartment, and it will reduce the amount of gas you have to use in your car.
Mm.
Absolutely.
Listen.
I have one in my...
Listen.
They use quartz in... NASA uses quartz for the rocket.
Not diamond.
That's a worthless stone, people. That's a worthless stone. Once again, dirty little secrets. Not secrets. And I think that that's a great segue into this clip. Anything else you want to share before we transition into this clip and close out?
The figures were 71% blacks own smartphones compared to 62% of the total U.S. population. So,
wow,
it's interesting seeing as where the materials used to produce these phones come from.
Mm-hmm.
71% mm-hmm. blacks compared to 62% of the total U.S. population.
Mm-hmm.
And like you were saying, how America puts little value on certain things. They come up with these little phrases like diamonds are a girl's best friend, blondes
mm-hmm.
have more fun, so that they
mm-hmm.
can sell these products. I remember when they started, what is it, Clairol started producing the hair color. They wanted
mm-hmm.
the women to start using their product, start bleaching their hair. So they came up with this quote, blondes have more fun. And now men going around thinking that, you know, blondes are better. It's
mm-hmm.
just a quote that they came up with to sell this. Stop being fooled, you know?
Right.
But anyway.
Stop being fooled. Wake up. Oh, speaking of books, I remember when I was in college, I wrote a paper. I can't remember what this paper was on, an essay, and as part of my research, I used this book called Wake Up. And when I tell you that was one of the best books I've read, that's a good book. I mean, it's just compiled with all types of history, and it takes it all the way back to, I believe it went back to like ancient history and brought it on up. You know, very concise book on African history. But I'm not going to talk anymore because I do want to share some of this clip, and then we're going to close out. So thank you so much. Let me start this Dr. Claude Anderson clip on Dirty Little Secrets.
Namaste, everyone.
Namaste.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to another episode in Dirty Little Secrets. And I'm Dr. Claude Anderson, and I'll be giving you the full story on black history. You know, people try to dismiss black history by focusing strictly on white history. White people will not take black history. But on the other hand, the law of every state require that black children learn white history. So therefore, we got the competitive edge in discussing any racial issue in this country. We need to understand white history so we can remove the lies and the deceptions in white history. For instance, if we had not read black history before we read white history, how would we know, for instance, that George Washington was not the real first president of the United States? The real president of the United States was John Hanson, because John Hanson had been in the position of the chairman before the Declaration of Independence was approved in 1789. He immediately went into the presidency. So what we need to do then is understand that John Hanson was the first president of the United States and not George Washington. The same thing with we start talking about the 4th of July. The 4th of July is not the official birthday of this nation. Even though if you go into almost any library in any museum in the country, you see a picture of the founding fathers standing around signing the Declaration of Independence. That is a fraud. The Declaration of Independence, if you're going to celebrate it, should really be on August the 2nd. But you won't know that, and you wouldn't know that if you had not learned something about black history so that you can go back and look at white history and pick out the lies and the tales. The same thing is true we start talking about presidents of the United States. People always talk about that Abraham Lincoln freed the slaves. Abraham Lincoln and his Emancipation Proclamation did not free not one single solitary black slave. What he did was to pass the Emancipation Proclamation, pass the federal government, saying basically that all the slaves who were in the South, in the Confederacy, that they were free. But he did not have any authority to free slaves in the South because the South had seceded away from the Union. He did not go out of his way to free not one slave that was in the North or in the border states. So in effect, the Emancipation Proclamation did not free one single slave. But let's talk a little bit more about some of our white presidents. We already talked about George Washington. We talked about Abraham Lincoln. Let's talk about Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Now, Franklin Delano Roosevelt was known throughout the latter part of his administration as being a friend to black people. But in reality, he was not a friend to black folk, because throughout the 1930s, as an example, his wife, Eleanor Roosevelt, was constantly on him, asking him, please, would you help me? I'm working with the Women's League in this country. We're trying to get an anti-lynching bill passed. Would you sponsor an anti-lynching bill with Congress to stop them from lynching black men in the South? They're lynching one black man a day, minimally, in the South. And as a matter of fact, in one 10-year period, they lynched over 2,800 black men. But Franklin Delano Roosevelt, the supposed proclaimed friend of black people, said, no, I can't do that because I would be at risk of losing some of my Southern supporters and some of my Southern friends. And he said that about 1934, 1935. But ironically, chickens came home to roost. By 1938, when Jews were being subjected to Hitlerism and to the Third Reich in Germany, and they were being beaten and being lynched and being subjected to all other kind of inhumane treatment, Franklin Delano Roosevelt called Hitler and said to Hitler, I don't think it's right for you to treat those people like that. Why are you beating them and castrating them and lynching them and doing all these other kind of mean and vicious things to them? And Hitler laughed and chuckled and said, how can you tell me anything about how I'm treating Jews in Germany when I learned everything I'm doing from how you all treat blacks in America? And so to this day, most people do not know that blacks were the role models for the Jewish Holocaust in Europe. And you would not have known that had you not had a little understanding about black history. Dwight Eisenhower was another situation. Now, what most people don't know is that Dwight Eisenhower was a black man. And it came out accidentally because Life magazine back in 1963 put out a story talking about all the presidents and their parents. And in that publication, they put down the mother and the father of each of the presidents. But they found out they had made an error, because once that magazine hit the stand, they went back and found out that they put in a picture of Eisenhower's mother, who was definitely visibly black. And so what Life magazine did was rushed out immediately that night and withdrew all those editions of Life magazine off the stand. Now, I got some friends who got copies of them, but that is a keepsake. You can't get that copy anymore, but it is available for those who have it and want to read it. Eisenhower's was a black man. His mother was black. But you'll never hear that from the white side of the lectern. So what we're going to be talking about this morning is getting a better grasp on what is black history and what is white history. And if white history is basically a sanitized version of history, which means there's no black involvement and is written strictly in the best interest of whites to promote their self-interest at the expense of black folk. So now let's talk a little bit more about black history this morning.
This morning when I talk about black history, I want you all to understand, I could spend hours just talking about all of our black great bridge builders. I could spend hours talking about Dr. Martin Luther King, Sojourner Truth, or Frederick Douglass, or Harriet Tubman. I could go on for hours telling you about civil rights and integration, But let me be honest with you. That's not black history. That's not black history. And you hear me talk this morning, I'm talking about all those unsung black heroes. I talk about all those nameless millions of black cotton pickers and all those black dishwashers and all those black janitors. All those black people who shine shoes for a living just so black folk can get across the road and have some food in their belly and a chance to live. I talk about all those black preachers who would never preach, all those black teachers who would never teach, all those black doctors who would never heal, and all those black babies who died in their bloom for the lack of food, shelter, and a mother's warm touch. That's who I talk about when I talk about black history. I talk about black history so that black folk understand that they are not guests in America. That you're not guests in America. That you walk on sacred ground. Paid for by the blood and sweat and tears and the suffering and sacrificing of millions of black folk. You're not here in America as guests. What I'm saying to you is that we have to understand that it's more than just talking about a few individuals. And see, now I was over education in the state of Florida. And I was over everything as a coordinator of education, everything in the private sector and the public sector, from the elementary schools to the graduate schools. And at that time, during integration, we had a debate in the legislature about mandating that every child must take Florida history. And because of that debate, I said, as the educator for the state of Florida, it's my responsibility to take a look at history and see what's in it. If you're going to mandate it and require that every child must take it before you graduate from high school. And so I go over and I look at the textbooks in the white schools, since that's where all the materials were. And black folk were only picking up used books, used textbooks 2 years after whites had used them. I want to see what was in their textbooks. And I looked at the textbooks, and invariably black folk only showed up twice. Black folk showed up twice in history. Either they were picking cotton, doing slavery with a half a paragraph explaining it in white's textbooks, or they had another half a paragraph with a picture showing blacks marching and demonstrating with Dr. Martin Luther King or rioting in the streets in the 1960s. That was all that was in the textbooks about black history on the white side. And I go over to the black side. I say, obviously, the whites don't know anything about black history. How can you solve a race problem when you don't know anything about it? When you do everything in your power to avoid learning about black history by telling black folk, get over it, put it behind you. You don't need to learn anything about black history. Let's move on. Let's move to a colorblind society. Let's pretend that it's a level playing field and all people are equal. And so then I go over to the black side. And I go into the black schools. And I say, show me as a black teacher what you're doing in schools in terms of black history. And invariably, they'll turn around and say, Dr. Anderson, we fulfill our obligation to black folk. We put up the same 10 or 15 pictures on the wall every year. During February. And you know those same 10 or 15 pictures. All of you know who they are. And you point to our black kids that there is black history. That's a lie. That's not black history. What you got are a few very popular and prominent blacks in history as individuals. But that's not black history. Black history is more than that. And I said to myself, I got an obligation to get out and start writing literature and putting out stuff that says black folk are more than a few pictures on a wall. So this morning I'll be talking about black history in another context for you, showing you that black history is not a few black individuals, and you should not take that as being black history. And see, if I take some issues and dirty little secrets about black history, black heroes, and other troublemakers, which is one of my first books, and now I got another one coming out this year, it tells you that there are some very specific things that you should know about black history. That absolutely nothing has gone on in the history of this nation that black folk did not either directly cause or were not indirectly involved in. You got to be the smartest person in the world to write a book about America and about black history and exclude black folk. You got to be a magician to do it. And if I started talking about black history and I started taking issues, the first thing I would start off is talking about people in black history. I would say, if you're going to talk about people, how can you miss black folk in America? How can you miss black?
And so we'll just close out tonight on that note, and we will be back next Wednesday here at the Lotus Place. And we thank you so much for tuning in. Namaste, feather light, peace, and good night. Thank you.